Good Friday morning. It is a Getaway Friday, August the 26th, 2022, 15 minutes past the hour here. It is time for the Pastor Spot, a weekly radio ministry of Community Christian Fellowship. Now, I do want to remind you this show is heard every Friday morning live at 9:10 a.m., repeated Sunday morning at 8:10 a.m., and on Wednesday from 3:10 p.m., to 4 p.m. and Thursday, 3:10 p.m. to 4 p.m. now. Now, the Community Christian Fellowship Sunday Sermon airs at 7:10 p.m. on Sunday, repeated Wednesday and Thursday from 4:10 until 5 p.m. And also, go to the website. The sermons and the shows are all archived on the website, wwgh1071.com, and we also Facebook Live this show. So if you go to the WWGH Facebook page, you will see Pastor Steve and his guest this morning, and let's turn it over to Pastor Steve Whitaker.
Good morning, Scott. How are you?
Doing great.
You know that we moved the Sunday sermon to that later time, and it's kind of nice because as people try to wind down on Sunday, I can put them to sleep with my sermon.
I don't know about that, but it's a nice time for it.
Hey, I'm here today also with Clay Whitaker, my grandson. Clay and I were going to spend some time together this morning, and I surprised him and said, we're going to go to the radio. And he doesn't know any much about it. Well, I guess we're doing, what do we call this? We don't call it a radio now. What do we call this?
Well, it's I would probably call it a broadcast.
Broadcast. We're going to do a broadcast. That's the best way to put it. But anyway, I am Pastor Steve Whitaker from Community Christian Fellowship. We're at 209 East Water Street in Prospect. Our Sunday morning services are at 10:30. We do have a Bible study hour the hour before that. We have a lot of stuff for kids. And come check us out. You'll really enjoy it with a lot of things happening. We do have a day in the park. I want to put that date out there now. This is going to be October 2nd, and that's in Prospect Park, and there's plenty of food and games and hay rides and bluegrass music. We're going to have bluegrass people this year, and I think everyone likes bluegrass. For the most part, it covers a lot of people that like other genres of music still like bluegrass, so I think it'll be fun. But I brought Clay with me this morning, and this morning I'd kind of like to talk about, we're back to school. Do you notice that, everybody?
We are.
We're back to school. And seeing kids go back to school and all the dynamics that go on with that, and Clay's doing, what's your practice schedule, Clay, for football?
No, it's 2:45 to 6:15 almost every day.
Almost every day. So on top of the academics, They've got that there, and I know tonight you guys have a pretty tough game with Jonathan Alder, don't you?
Yep.
That'll be a handful. You know, it's funny, when I was a kid, I grew up in Hilliard, and when I was a kid, Hilliard wasn't very big at all, and Jonathan Alder was even smaller, and now they're this powerhouse school. It's amazing to see how those things happen. And Hilliard's got, what, three high schools?
Oh, something like that. Big community.
Yeah, amazing. But I grew up when it was still a very tiny bedroom community. I think we had three major neighborhoods, and they were all slab houses, three bedrooms and a kitchen dinette, living room combination, and it was three neighborhoods that were all the same. But anyway, times have certainly changed. I want to talk a little bit about something important, and I kind of want to talk to parents this morning if I could, and maybe to young people a little bit. But parents today, I remember telling my kids at one point when I was raising them that, you know, guys, you may hate me today, but you'll love me tomorrow. And in understanding that, I don't think that a lot of them understood that until some of them hit maybe 30. Does that make sense? Because I've never met too many high school kids that when times get difficult for parents in high school and things get tough, they don't get to this point where they just don't like mom and dad anymore. And I was in high school once, I remember that. And it was funny, the ones that did like mom and dad and had this great relationship, it was usually because the parents were being overly permissive and being their friend instead of their parent. Well, down the road, what happens to that? You know, you've got one group that the Bible says to train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. Do you notice that it says when he's old? In other words, it doesn't mean when he's an old man. But what it's saying is that stuff gets instilled. And even though you go through a period of wonder and sometimes doing your own thing, rebellion maybe even, you know, at some point you're going to settle back and know what you were taught and why you were taught. And that happened with my kids. I think that every one of my kids went through a point when they were growing up that, man, I can't stand it. I can't stand being here. I can't stand here and be with that. And then, you know, they get to the point where, you know what, there was a reason they did that. And I want to encourage parents out there to take that stance, because it's hard. I'm going to ask, okay, it's kind of hard living at home at your age, isn't it?
Sometimes
at home, because you have your ideas. And one of the things that I think that they talk about, a generational gap. And today we have almost more of a generational chasm. And it's because things have happened and progressed so fast in the last 10 or 15 years. It used to be, when you think about it, things changed and they always grew. And there was always the good old days, as the parents would say. But there really wasn't a huge social change. Today, there's such a wide social change that the parents are trying to hold on to the solid rock they're standing on. And their kids are saying, no way, you're crazy. I'm not doing that. Everybody else says this, that, and the other. And the parents, you know, have this decision. Do we hold to what we know to be solid and true? Or do we let them go? And I pray that most parents out there decide that they're going to keep their kids on a solid rock, because, man, it's scary out there today. There are so many things, Clay, I'll tell you this, there are so many things out there today that we didn't have to deal with, and even your mom and dad didn't have to deal with. One thing that's huge is that we didn't have to deal with was this instant communication. You know, hey, there was times I would have loved that instant communication with my girlfriend, but I couldn't. You know, I could call her house, but, you know, parents would always limit your time on the phone. You can talk to him for 10 minutes, and it's got to be after dinner, and make sure your homework's done, or whatever the case may be. And then if you had an argument or something to say, there was no way you could talk to them till the next day at school. There's just no way to do it. And everything was that way. We had to sit back and think about things. I think that we had to think about life more. And today, everything just goes bang, 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 bang. You know, we were talking about that this morning. Coffee. We have coffee at the church outside. And please come, people. Corner of Water and East Street, our church is. And every Friday morning, they have coffee and pastries, and it's all free, and just stop and grab it. We were talking this morning about that, though, that, you know, if I have a phone, and if I don't hear from someone, why haven't I heard from them today? Or if somebody pops on there, I got to answer. I got to talk to them. And it, the best that we used to do is we had voice pagers. And I was in business. I had a voice pager. And a beep, 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 beep. You remember them, Scott?
Oh, yeah.
You pick it up, and they'd say, you hit the button, and they'd say, Steve, this is Shirley. Call me. And then I would have to go find a payphone and call her. But because of that whole process, people only called you when they really needed something most of the time. And it wasn't just constant, what are you doing? Where are you at? You know, that kind of thing. So there was a trust issue that you had to have. You had to trust where they were at and what they were doing. But there also was a time to think about what you were doing without constantly being under. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, it's interesting because the whole thing with messaging, you know, maybe a significant other, it does create now anxiety in people. If somebody doesn't respond right away, where are you? What have you been doing? It's almost like you have to know where somebody is all the time.
I know.
And that wasn't the case.
It shouldn't be that way.
No.
You know, Clay, I ask you this. You know, you're obviously a young person, so you're into. What are the basic ways you guys communicate? And I'm asking this out of stupidity. What are the basic ways that most young people communicate via social media?
It's usually Snapchat.
Snapchat
primarily. Yeah.
Okay, tell me how Snapchat works exactly.
It's like text messaging, I guess, but you can send pictures, and
it's no voice.
You can send recordings.
Send recordings.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting. One of the problems that I have with texting is, and part of it's because of our American language. You have so many words that mean the same thing or a different way, or how you cannot put a voice inflection into a text.
You know what? I just had this conversation Wednesday night with somebody because a lot of the communication I have with this person is through Messenger, Facebook Messenger.
Right.
And the other night I said, things are terrific. Because I was having a positive day. Now, I got a weird response from that person to things are terrific. Now, later on, I learned they thought, because they were not having the greatest day, that I was trying to rub it in their face that things were terrific with me. But it wasn't that at all. And in person, you wouldn't have thought
that. You wouldn't even have thought that.
No.
And that's the problem with texting and with all these things, is that people can take what you're saying completely different light than what you're saying it. And we've lost a lot of that communication skill, and we need to get it back. We need to be doing more face-to-face, especially important matters. You know, I would never text someone something really important. I'd need to call them because I want to hear their response and be able to respond back right away verbally, because that's how we're wired to speak. We're not wired to text. We're wired to speak. Now, you know, we used to write letters. I still love letters. I think that writing a letter is very personal. I loved getting letters from people. And I think that I like the romantic side of letters. You know what I mean? Everyone has a different handwriting. They're individual. You know, I get a letter, and before I even see whose name is on it, I recognize the writing. Oh, that's my grandma, or that's my aunt, or someone like that. You know, we're taking so many personal things away from our lives and turning them into electronic mess. And that's something that I think is quite difficult. I noticed the other day, and someone messaged on our show last week. You know, why are you on a station that constantly lies to the FCC and other people? And I thought, and I almost answered that back, and then I thought, no, there's no reason to answer this back, because there's nothing I can say that's going to make this person feel any different than they felt. You know, why do you go to a grocery store that cheats people on prices? Why do you listen to ABC, NBC, or CBS, or any of these cable stations when someone might not be? You know, come on, get over it.
Well, it's funny to me because that always is a sign to me that, oh, wait a second, we're doing something right, because you make a choice to make that comment. You know you're trying to get that seen by other people. Now, if nobody's paying attention to what's going on, and why do it? you know, you obviously still have some kind of bone to
be picking.
I
guess I just gave him airtime, didn't I?
Well, no, but that's okay because I think it points out something that what they were trying to achieve is not working it.
The silliness of it. The silliness of it. But, I think, Clay, that sometimes, and I'm talking to you as a teenager, I think that sometimes we screw up communication because of communicating that way. What do you think?
Definitely.
Yeah. People think you mean one thing when you mean something else, or, you know, I can hash something out on a phone call. You know, I can do that face-to-face, but texting is just, I think texting borderlines on rude, and I have so many, I have people, you know, that and the people I love, and I love you out there if you're watching this, that will text me important things and long things, and I'm thinking, look, most of these people have my phone number. Call me and say you got just a minute and say it to me. You know, and I'm not getting on anybody. Please contact me if you need to. And if texting is the only way that you can do it, because maybe you're at your desk or in a public place, that's fine. But I would really prefer a verbal conversation.
Now, we do have this new technology where we are broadcasting live on the Facebook page. And Frank wanted to let you know good morning. So we just got a message from him through the Facebook.
Good morning, Frank. How are you, buddy? Good to have you. I saw Frank early this morning, and he was stopped in for coffee this morning. But, you know, back to where I was at, I wanted to read something that we feel so alone. I think the teenage years are one of the hardest times in life. You feel like everything, like you have the weight of the world on you, like this is going to be the end of the world if this doesn't work. I have no hope for tomorrow. You know, one thing that I think is so, so sad today is the amount of young people that take their life. And I look at them, and I'm seeing these kids 19, 20, 22. I've been on several of those calls as an EMT. And it's heart-wrenching. But what's really silly about it, there's a couple things that are really crazy. We live in such a day and age that I don't know that people are understanding reality, because they'll say, listen to this, this is crazy. I can't wait to see their face when they find me dead. Now think about that a minute. You're not going to see their face. The other thing is, it's horribly selfish. Another thing, it really is, because, and the other thing is, for crying out loud, look, I want to read something in here, in Romans chapter 8, if I could. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor present, nor future, nor any powers, neither height, nor depth, or anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Now, I'll tell you something I felt as a young person, and this probably saved my life, because I went through some very rough stuff. I've often told people, if I sat here and told you what I went through as a teenager, in the traumatic things that happened to me in a short period of time, you would think that, why is this guy not in a rubber room somewhere, or on a couch at least? And it's because of this. I always knew that no matter what I went through, that there was hope. And I was shown that hope was in Christ. And I was taught from a young person that God loved me. And that I might, at the moment, not be able to quite figure out what it's going to be, or how I'm going to get there. Or maybe I don't. Maybe I want some other answer aside from what God can do in my life. I just want everything to be fixed. And sometimes everything can't be fixed. And as a young person, whether we admit it or not, we haven't lived enough life to be really mature. So situations look much larger, and you can't see beyond them. Like, how do I fix this? Well, don't worry about it. It's going to get fixed. Everything comes out in the wash. I'll give you a good example of long-term stuff. When my father was killed, I was 13 years old. It was devastating to me. Knocked me for a loop. I loved him dearly. It knocked my mother for a loop. My mother had never, ever been out, had to support the kids financially, our family, because she worked very hard at home. But Everyone used to talk about, oh, you know, he was 40 years old, and he's so young, and how horrible it was. It was horrible. God, why could you do this, right? Well, move ahead 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, and I have that perspective now to look back, and I can say, wow, God, if that event wouldn't have happened, this wouldn't have happened, and this wouldn't have happened, and this wouldn't happen, and it all turned out great. I was at my mom's graveside when she passed, and it was a full 25 years probably, no longer than that, maybe 30 years after my dad had passed. Oh, yeah, definitely, because she was 39, and yeah, it was 40 years after he had passed. And I'm looking around, and I'm seeing this massive group of people that were all my siblings and their kids. And I looked around at how well most of them had done, and the wonderful people they turned into. And I thought, all that fear when we stood here 40 years ago with just her five kids. Of course, there were guests, you know, or, you know, family, other people. But just her and her fear and her five kids. And how's this going to work? What's going to happen? And I look around and say it worked out fine. Worked out wonderfully. You know, and that's the whole point. We have to be long-term people. We have to look long-term. And the key is, though, here's the key. The sooner we decide to do what is right, the sooner things get better. Because we are so pressured by emotion and so pressured, like, oh, no, how do I face this? How am I going to face this person? What am I going to do here? I got myself in a pickle here. I got myself in a pickle there. And boy, I'll tell you something. As a teenager, you're talking about getting into pickles. There was a time when I literally led a double life. As a teenager, that's really bad. A lot of people do it as adults. But I went to a Christian school. I was president of my graduating class. I looked great. But you know what? I was living a totally double life. I was hanging out with people 10 years older than me. I was partying my butt off. There was a time I almost got caught in a drug raid in West Virginia. I'm talking about as a teenager. I was leading a totally double life. I had this great girlfriend that was just very kind girl. She had boundaries, and I had to obey those boundaries. But on the other hand, I knew girls that didn't have boundaries. And I look back on it now, and I started thinking of these crazy mafia guys. And I was like a junior mafia guy because they led these double lives. And they did that. But I got to tell you this, it all came to a head. And it caused me to go down a road for probably 10 years. The only saving grace in the whole thing was God. Because even though I made bad decisions, I knew that if I decided to do what was right in those decisions, things would turn out fine, and they did. I have four beautiful children. I got 15 beautiful grandchildren, one of them sitting here. Great kids, great, great kids. Are they perfect? No. Do they screw up? You better believe it. Do I trust them? Not as far as you can throw them. but the point being that I know what they've been taught, and I know the parents that they have. And probably they hate their parents now. I've talked to all my grandsons. Clay and I have not really talked much about this, but I've talked to some of my other grandsons. I got one grandson right now. Man, I'm ready to be out of there, you know. You get to that point where you grow up, and you're ready for that independence. But the question is, are you going to be responsibly independent, or are you going to be chasing bad things? And I was smart enough to know that I needed something to ground me, or I was going to be, you know, a loose train. And I met my wife, and Shirley, right out of high school. I mean, I graduated in June. We went to the Hilliard Fair in July, and we were married in February, a couple days after the blizzard hit. And so it was very short term. Everyone said it won't last a week. And I didn't make a lot of right decisions then, but that gave me grounding. That gave me something to sink. You know, I had to go to work. I had to support a family, and therefore I had to get my act together.
You know, when you mention double life, two things come to my mind, and one of them does have to do with radio, because just the field you work in, there are people, two of them I can think of, who I have worked with over the years, who, if you were only listening through a radio or a listening device, you would have no idea who that person really was, for the good or the bad, because what they projected for that 45 minutes or 3 hours or however long they were on was not how they were in real life at all. They as soon as that mic went off, different person. And then it leads me to think to myself, is that done purposely? Like in your story. Now, you look back on it and you say, yes, it was a double life. But was it purposely a double life?
No, of course not.
Right. It never is.
No, it never is. Because you're wanting... In my case, I knew what was right here, and this is what I really wanted and where I needed to be. And over here was where I didn't have to worry about judgment. I didn't have to, because they didn't care. I didn't have to worry about toeing the line. I didn't have to worry about doing what was right. I could just relax and be bad. Does that make sense? And man, did it almost get me in some trouble. I could tell stories that my word. I'll never forget one time. God saved me so many times. I'll never forget one time I was with a friend, and we had been out drinking. And I was feeling ill. So I rolled out the window, hang my head out the window. We're out in the country, and he's driving fast. He goes off the road and in the ditch, and the top of my head brushed a telephone pole.
Ooh.
I was an inch away from decapitation.
Oh.
And I look back on that and I think, wow, you know, isn't that crazy? And I could tell a lot of those stories, but the point is, it's not because I'm proud of them. It's not glory stories. It's that, you know, this is where things can end up if you don't pay attention to what you're doing. And so, by the grace of God, you're still here. And you know, those are things that you're not proud of, but there's something else that they're not. And this is something bothers me that parents do a lot of times. And I don't think your parents do this, but I think there's parents that do, Clay. Well, I can't say anything to them because I did it too. That is one of the dumbest comments ever made, and I'll tell you why. I stuck my hand in a rattlesnake cage and it bit me. I can't tell my kid to do it because I did it too. Yeah, come on. You can tell them because you did do it, and you know, you see what I mean? You know what the outcome is going to be, so you say, look, I'm telling you as a parent, don't go here. And that's what parents are supposed to do. They're supposed to be that warning. We learn lessons so we can share those lessons.
But you know what comes out of that, and I think it's why people preface it that way when they say that. People go, hypocritical, you did the same thing. And it is silly because...
Let me tell you something about hypocritical. One of the most misused words in the world. Because first of all, we're all hypocrites. Honestly. Everybody says things that they want something to be some way, but they rarely can live up to what they say they want it to be. You see what I mean? If I preach something from the pulpit, I preach it because I know it's true, and I want people to have changed lives. Does that mean that I'm going to totally live up to everything I say every minute? Of course I can't. I'm a person. We're fallible. That's what we do. So, yeah, someone can point at me anytime and call me a hypocrite. But the truth of the matter is, you know, to me, the church is a place that we go. It's a hospital. We go to get fixed. But the thing is, once we start getting fixed, we help the other patients. And that's why I don't like it when people talk about the church being hypocritical. How about everything else you do in life? You know, everything has that element of hypocriticalness to it. And, you know, Jesus spoke to hypocrites more than anyone. He just laid out the religious people of that time. I mean, he called them everything. Dead men's bones, hypocrites, what else? Lying dogs. I mean, on and on it went. And it was because they were. And it's a warning for us not to be that way. Don't say you're something and then not live it.
You know, it's funny. I knew a man once who had an affair. He stayed with his wife, but he'd had an affair, and everybody knew he'd had an affair, and it was a very public thing. And he went on, not too long after that, probably 15 years later, to start lecturing to communities that young people were not being as good as they could be. They were talking down to women and just not doing things. And somebody stood up and said, hey, wait a second, you know, you've had an affair. How can you lecture to people about being moralistically right and that people need to get their act together? And he said one of the best things. He said, you know, he said, if I'm driving down a road in the middle of a storm and I go up there and the bridge is out and my car goes over the bridge and gets stuck in the water and I'm walking back and another car comes up, I'm going to roll down that window and say, listen, the bridge is out up there. My car is in the water. Now, you can go along if you want and still get stuck in that water, but it doesn't stop me from telling you, even though I've made that mistake.
You have every right to tell them.
Exactly.
And it's just like, you know, one thing I like to tell, Clay, I like to tell young adults when I counsel them for marriage and when they get married, is don't get in the habit of doing things separately. And what I mean by that is girls' night out, guys' night out. Look, if you marry someone, you marry them because you want to be with them. If you want to go out with couples, that's fine. And once in a great while, just the girls and their friends, that's once in a... But that regular time of it, it always brings something bad. It always an outcome. When a group of girls go out somewhere, especially if they go out to an entertainment place, there's going to be wolves out there that are looking for one thing. Am I right?
Well, but you know...
What I'm getting at is that don't put yourself in that situation.
You know, isn't it interesting, though, because it comes back to the whole being in touch with somebody all the time. If you have doubt in your mind, and it usually is a relationship thing, if you have doubt in your mind that that person's doing something else, even though you really have no proof at all that they are, if you doubt that, there's a problem there to begin with. Because why are you doubting them? And not necessarily on their behalf. It's not their problem, because if they aren't doing anything bad, that's your insecurity. Why do you think that?
Yeah, you know, first of all, we're to be forgiving people. One of the things the Lord has blessed me with, and probably a lot of it is because I would like forgiveness for all the things that I did wrong when I was younger, so I better be forgiving to other people. But we're supposed to be forgiving people, and we're supposed to make things right. And, you know, I've had to go back to people before, and it wasn't very easy, and openly apologize for something in my life. Now, I'll be honest with you, the last few decades, God has really blessed my life, and I never did anything that I didn't jump in with both feet. So when I talk about the rough life that I lived as a youngster, it was really a short period of time. But, I mean, I went from 0 to 60 in about 3 milliseconds, and God taught me that, stop, dummy. You know, you can't go any further than this. You've got to be who you say you are. One of the things that bothers me, honestly, is the people that did call me a hypocrite, that knew what I said I believed and who I said I was, but I wasn't. And those people that never followed what I wish they would have followed because of my example. And that bothers me to this day. And, you know, I don't dwell in regret, because it's definitely a stifling thing. But there are people that probably never went to... There's possibly people that never went to church in their life because they knew that I did. You know, here's this kid. He goes to this Christian school, and he does all this stuff. And then but we see him over here. And if that's what a Christian is, I want nothing to do with it. And that bothers me to this day. And I trust that God has allowed me to be a far greater influence in a positive way to many more people. And I'll be honest, it was part of that time in my life, and that the wasted time, as I look at it, much of it was. Didn't do everything wrong in that time. I had a beautiful wife and 4 beautiful kids, and in my heart, I knew how to raise them and what to do. So the point was, there's wonderful things that happened during that time too. But I pray that I have longevity, because I will spend the rest of my life doing what is right and trying to, not atone, Jesus atoned for our sin. I don't have to atone for anything, but to give back what I took away. Does that make any sense?
Well, and I think a lot of people have to do that through, as you said in the beginning, nobody's perfect. Nobody is without mistake. But at some point, you have to, it's like when somebody dies. You know, when somebody dies who you care about a whole lot, did you get closure on that? You hear that a lot. Well, I don't think you ever get closure on it, but you learn to understand that they're not here. And you learned coping. You cope. And some days are better than others.
I still have, my father has been gone now since he was killed in 1971. And I still have dreams every now and then.
There you go.
Dad came back.
Absolutely.
And he was just gone. And, I still, it was a very traumatic time in my life. And that probably lent to a lot of things, too. Because I was a mess and didn't realize it. I was a teenage mess and I didn't even realize I was. And because of that, I was seeking something to make me feel good on this side of things, but I knew what was right over here. And honestly, I never let loose of the truth that I knew. Never let loose of that. You know, when I was dating Shirley, I told her what I believed and how I believed. And I said, you know, if we're ever going to have a life together, you got to join in this with me. You know, and she did. But unfortunately, many times what happens in young people's lives is they'll start down that path and they can't get off of it. And they'll get with that person that will even sometimes coax them along and make them feel like they don't feel like they do, but they'll just keep dragging them further and further and further away. And I've seen, you know, I had a friend, we both grew up very similar families in a lot of ways. Grew up in church, grew up in everything. I did his funeral 2 years ago, and when he died, he had hep C, no teeth, horribly unhealthy, and he had lived his life as a young person. He couldn't get off drugs, messed with drugs his whole life, ended up with everything you could imagine, diabetes, huge, bad diabetes. He was one of those talented guys in the world. I remember when he went in the service, he brought home this little trophy he had for tank maneuverability. He was great. But he let that life get a hold of him, and he just got worse and worse and worse. And I didn't see him for years and years. And even the last 10 years of his life, I would keep in touch with his mother on how he was doing. But I wanted to go see him. She said, he doesn't want to see you. And it was because he was so embarrassed of his life. He didn't want anyone to see him. This guy had the prettiest teeth of any young guy I ever saw. I mean, back when we were growing up, not every kid could get braces. But Jerry had, always at the dentist, had these pearly whites. And here's a guy that doesn't even have teeth anymore. And he's overweight. And it was all because of he started down a path. God blessed me to have enough sense to stop and go the direction I needed to be. And he's blessed me so much. You know, I was telling Clay on the way over here today that you know, the bridges I burnt, and then God has allowed me to repair so many of those relationships that I never thought I could. And it's through doing what's right that has allowed them to see that and then repair that relationship. Because I thought I lost many people that I cared about just because they looked at me and said, wow. And my kids will tell you, my daughters are very verbal about this, that they saw such a transition in my life. They were all still kids at home. But they saw such a transition between where things were and where I said, at this point, I'm going to follow God and do what I'm supposed to do and trust Him with our family's lives. They saw such a transition period that they truly believed that, because they said, nobody just changes like that instantly. And it was through God that you know, given in my life that it did. And it works for everyone. I was a basket case when I was 19, in many ways. Before I was married, that was a rough year. And I can even remember, honestly, and I've never told a lot of people this, I can remember calling a mental health hotline and saying, I'm ready to lose it. Help me. I remember going to see another friend, an older man in the church, and I said, man, here's what's going on in my life. And he says, oh, wow, you know. And, you know, instead of him, this guy, instead of wanting to tell me how to help me and what to do, he starts asking me about all these things I was doing and how he always wondered what it felt to take this and do that. And I'm like, dude, I'm coming to you for help. I'm not going to tell you about the experiences of doing this stuff. But then there was another man. This was great. His name was Jim McAwee. He was a psychologist, and he had worked part-time as a school psychologist. Jim was a good man. I don't think he was any taller than 4'6". He was a great guy, good golfer, heck of an athlete. He was always a ref in games. And I went to see Jim, knocked on Jim's door one night because I was just beside myself. And he came to the door, and he was angry because it was late in the evening. He was trying to rest, and here's Steve at the door. And I could tell he was angry. He was angry because he knew what I was up to and had been up to. And I said, Jim, I need help. I said, I don't know if I've completely pushed God away, if I can ever come back. I don't know where I'm at. You know what he told me? He said, leave. He said, Steve, go out the door. Go live your life. And it goes back to this verse that I am convinced that neither death nor life, present nor the future, nor any powers in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. And if I belong to God, and if I truly believe Him, I will follow Him. And He said, if you don't, you won't. And that was the best advice and thing that man could have ever done. And I think it was the last time I ever spoke to him. And it stuck with me all these years. And he was right. He was right. If I wasn't going to believe and trust God and want to live that way, I stayed on that path. But I didn't. And I knew there was a lot of things that needed fixed. And I just think that was wonderful advice. But we have to make those hard decisions in our life sometimes. And I don't wish teenage years on anyone. You know, it's funny. When you look back at school, and you will, Clay, you'll look back at this, and they call it your glory days, you know, playing football, and it's hard games, and doing stuff with your friends and all that stuff. You look back on it, great. But when you're living it, there's nothing easy about it. You know, someone making a comment about you, or, you know, guys giving you a hard time, or, you know, your parents, you know, being mad at you, or you being mad at your parents and wanting to be out of the house and not knowing what you're doing is a tough time in life. But I'm glad that I had God to rescue me from all of that stuff. And you know, really, it was just until a couple years ago. I never was one of those whiners that blamed things that happened to me growing up for the way I was. You know, a lot of people do that. Oh, if you'd lived in my, you know, yeah. I never did that. But it was just a couple years ago when I finally really realized, and looking back at my life, how much those traumatic situations really did affect me. And I was just pushing them down, and not because I had trust issues. I needed to feel loved desperately. I was very depressed, and I went through all of those cycles of things, and it was because of a lot of what I went through. But, you know, God was always there, and He always had His hand out, and I just had to reach out and grab it. I mean, Scott, some of the stuff would happen to blow your mind. I mean, why did it happen to me? You know, just a couple years after my dad died, my brother was in the service, and he was stationed in, just lost my mind, Norfolk. No, it wasn't Norfolk. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Charleston, South Carolina, there's a base there.
I think so.
Yeah. So I decided I'm going to go visit my brother, and I'm not a big kid. I'm 120 pounds and muscular little guy, but I wasn't very big. But anyway, I get on a bus to go visit my brother. I needed to see him. And on the bus on the way over there, this guy, big guy, sits down beside me and starts telling me all these children's books that he writes. Next thing I know, the guy's trying to molest me. Why did I need that? I didn't need that to happen after what I'd already been through all this time. And I went to go visit my brother. And we went to a club that night, a bass club, and I got blasted. Young teenager got blasted. And you know, I look at all that stuff, and then you know, I can keep going on and on. I can tell you all day. It just compounded and compounded. Bad decisions, guilt, bad decisions. And I guess what I'm saying is parents don't give up because no one told me what I was doing was okay. Nobody did. And I had to get to that point in my life where I knew it. And, you know, there was a time when I said to God at one of my lowest points, I said, God, you know, I'm ready to follow you. I'm ready to do what I need to do. But please put people in my life that will help me do that and take away the ones that don't. And I was serious about it, and it was the weirdest thing that happened, Clay. All of a sudden, people started popping up at my work. People started working with people that were exactly what I needed, and people around me were exactly what I needed. It just started happening. And I think that that's part of we you know, you can't expect to smell like roses when you're swimming in a hog hole. It ain't going to happen. You've got to be where you need to be. And you've got to find those like-minded people to stand beside you. You know, don't you think so?
Well, isn't there a song somewhere that says nothing comes from nothing, nothing ever could? I mean, I think, well, how does anything come from nothing? If you don't do anything and you're not trying to change anything, what do you expect to happen? Nothing.
Nothing. Buddy told me one time, she said, Steve, she said, because back when I was in business, she actually was one of the head advertisers for 610 WTV, and I was advertising through them. And she said, Steve, she said, one thing you always got to remember, I remember the conversation she was having. We were having this conversation about being around the wrong kind of people. And she said, you'll never make chicken salad out of chicken poop.
That's true. I've heard that one. I've heard that one. That, well, and it's true. I mean, you...
Nothing good comes out of the bad.
No. No, you can't. How can you make it bad? How can you make it good? How can you take something that is just horrible? You just have to get past it.
You got to get past it.
Yeah.
And you got to face things sometimes. It may be hard, but you got to do what's right.
You know, something interesting. We got about a minute and a half here. But, you know, a lady this week I ran into, and I put it on Facebook. She lost a restaurant. She got evicted. You know, beyond her control. It wasn't for not paying rent. It was just the building was changed hands. So what's she doing now? Delivering the food. She's keeping it going. You know, she didn't sit there and say, oh, what am I supposed to do? I'm out of my restaurant. Should I close down? Nope. She's out there making relationships, cooking the food out of her house, and delivering it. There you go.
You know, one of the things I had to do, and I apologize to anyone that maybe hear this broadcast that I need to apologize to and maybe never did, but one night I laid in bed thinking of all the people I needed to apologize to, and the list was so great I'd have never done it. I'd have had to multiply myself 1,000 times over. But I really did make a very strong attempt to go to people that I had wronged or I had been dishonest with about my life, and I came clean with them, and that was very healing for me. And it, like I said, it's been many years now. It's been a few decades that the Lord has blessed my life and blessed my family. I got this wonderful Clay sitting next to me. Great athlete, good kid, smart kid. I can't ask for better grandkids. And, you know, that I would have not had any of those things had I not said two words, yes, Lord, it's time. And that's important. Hey, this is Pastor Steve Whitaker from the Community Christian Fellowship at 209 East Water Street in Prospect. Our number there is 740-494-2222. And if you want to give me a call sometime, I'd love to talk to you. God bless you all. Clay, thanks for sitting here and putting up with me, buddy. Good luck with that game tonight. Are you ready to go?
Ready as I'll ever be.
All right. You take care, buddy. Scott.
Thank you.
There, that's a secret let out.
Oh my, that's a great story. So Mother Goose.
Isn't that lovely?
Mother Goose.
Oh, what fun it was, and the joy of the children and their parents and their brothers and their sisters along the route, just waving and having such a good time celebrating.
WWGH Radio, streaming live on the internet at WWGH.